Southern California Chinese American Oral History Project, jointly sponsored by the UCLA Asian American Studies Center and the Chinese Historical Society of Southern California. July 21, 1980. First interview with Mr. Kang Lee at his residence in Montebello, conducted by Beverly Chen. Mr. Lee, could you tell me where your parents were born?
My mother born in China, naturally. My father so-called naturalized American.
Your father was a naturalized American.
Naturalized American.
But he was born back in China.
Well, as a matter of fact, no. According to his immigration paper, he was born in San Francisco.
Oh, but he actually wasn't.
No, actually wasn't. They made it up, you know, during earthquake.
Yeah, right. The earthquake.
Those papers all burned. So he claimed that he was born in San Francisco.
Which part of China were your parents?
Taishan.
From Taishan, huh?
Taishan.
Yeah.
Like Guangdong, Taishan, Taishan Yun.
Yeah. Taishan, which part of Taishan?
Which part of Taishan? Village? Right in the central part. I would say in the central part of Taishan.
Is there a name of a village?
The name of a village is Longbo.
What is their background? Specifically, your father's occupation?
He was a cook in the Francisco Hotel, Francis Hotel, I believe.
How old was he when he came here?
How old was he when he came here? That I couldn't tell you how old he is. I think you would know myself.
So he never worked back in China?
Oh, he went back to China.
No, he worked.
He don't work in China, no.
He never did.
I believe he came over at quite an early stage. He mentioned about the boat with sails like that, you know.
But he came after the earthquake, so it would have been
before the earthquake. He came before the earthquake.
Then how could he claim that his papers were lost, burned in the earthquake?
Well, everybody claimed it those days. When the earthquake came, everybody claimed it.
Okay, he came here on what kind of status? Before the earthquake, how did he come here?
He came that I wouldn't know. I have no record of that.
I see. Did he come alone or did he come with your mother?
He came alone.
I see. Were you born at that time?
No, I don't think.
He wasn't even married, I guess, at that time.
He was married already.
He wasn't born. So your mother didn't come with him?
No. Those days, the wife, you can't bring the wife over, Chinese wife.
Did he tell you why he came over?
To make a living. Most are doing, you know, those days.
Yeah.
Most of them are.
And he went to San Francisco first?
He stayed stuck in San Francisco all those days, years.
Oh, really?
He stuck there.
I thought you mentioned he had a market in China.
No.
In L.A.
After 1925.
Oh, after?
Yeah.
That's
okay. Let's get this straight now, huh?
Okay.
All right. He came to America and saved a couple of pennies. Went back, got married. And then he came back to America again. But before he went back to China, the earthquake happened.
Yeah, right.
And so he claimed all his papers are lost, and so he was born in San Francisco. That's what they claim.
Right.
That's how he got his right and went back to China and brought me over.
Okay. Just you?
Just me, yeah.
I see. When were you born?
Where was I born?
No, when?
Oh, 1909.
In China?
In China.
In the same village?
In the same village.
Longbo?
Longbo.
So you didn't get here until 1925, right? You didn't come to the United States.
No, I was here in 1922.
Oh.
So first, I arrived at San Francisco in 1922.
Uh-huh.
And then I moved down to L.A. in 1925.
When did your father establish a market in L.A.?
1925.
I see. And prior to 1925, he was always a cook at the Francisco Hotel?
Right. No, no. he was in San Francisco, but had a restaurant, restaurant business.
Oh, he later got into the restaurant business. Yeah. A Chinese restaurant.
Right.
In Chinatown?
No, in downtown San Francisco.
What was the reason for him moving down to LA in 1925?
Well, to change occupation, I guess. He got tired with the cooking business.
So he decided to go into
Yeah, he heard about LA, that the produce is very opportunities like that.
Oh.
And so he moved down, they changed occupation.
Did he take you down here with him?
What?
Did he take you down to Los Angeles with him the first time when he came
take
down?
Take me down?
Well, you were in San Francisco.
Yes.
First. You landed in San Francisco in 1922.
Right.
And you spent 3 years there, right? San Francisco.
I stayed there for 3 years.
Yeah, right. And so he took you down with him to Los Angeles.
He didn't brought me down. I came down by myself.
No kidding.
As a matter of fact, he's the kind of person that give you a chance to prove yourself that you are capable to do anything yourself.
Yeah.
I remember when I first landed in San Francisco. Was in September.
Uh-huh.
The next day, he sent me down there to Grand Avenue and Clay Street, you know. He pointed down to the red brick building. He said, there's a great immigration office. You go down there, get your ID paper. I couldn't even speak any word of English then.
Oh, no.
And I went down there, got my ID paper. That's the kind of guy. And so in 1925, I came over here, came down by train those days, you know, all by myself.
He didn't tell you to come?
Oh, yeah, he did. He told me to come.
Oh, but you made the trip by yourself?
Make the trip by myself, yeah.
Oh, wow.
Of course, my uncle's at San Francisco then, those days.
How many relatives did you have in the United States?
How many?
How many relatives back in those days?
Well, I have about two uncles in San Francisco.
Mm-hmm.
And about two aunts. With me in Oakland, a couple uncles done by marriage on my side, my aunt's side, you know.
Uh-huh.
A couple uncles there.
When did your mother come to the United States?
She never did. She never did. Came to America.
She couldn't or she didn't want to?
Not she couldn't. It's all up to my dad, you know. At the time, as a matter of fact, he got all the paper ready to bring it over, bring her here.
Yeah.
But he never did continue it.
Did you ever ask him why?
Well, he wanted but that time he wants to bring her over here. He's ready to retire. He wanted to go back to China and stay there.
Oh. When was that? That he was going to retire?
That's 1933. Yeah, 1933.
So he didn't bother getting
back? No, he didn't bother. Then.
But did he go back?
No, he never did go back. He never did come back.
He didn't go back to China or he didn't?
Well, 1933, he went back to China with me.
Uh-huh.
And he stayed there.
Oh, I see.
And I came back by myself.
Oh, okay. I see. Did you have any brothers and sisters?
I got one brother with disease. He died. He died in
Did
China.
Did he come over to the... Oh, he
died in China. Mm-hmm.
In infancy.
No, 18 years old when he died.
Oh, but he never came here before.
He never did come. My dad didn't want him to come. Want him to stay in China and be a scholar, something, some sort of thing.
Oh. He was older than you?
No, younger. Yeah. He was my younger brother.
I see. That's just the two of you?
Mm-hmm.
No other siblings. I see. Do you remember much of your hometown?
Yeah, quite clearly.
What was it like? Could you describe it?
Oh, like any other, village. Our village is really, I would say, a very good size, a community.
A couple of thousand?
I think over a thousand.
Over a thousand.
And so we have the sections, you know, as old section and new sections, the world of built new houses there.
Uh-huh. And did you own farmland?
Yeah, we have some farm there. Okay.
Did you work on it yourself?
No, more like a crop sharing.
You rented it out, kind of.
You sort of leased it out to a farmer.
And he splits his crop.
Whatever he make is split. Yeah.
Okay.
Sometimes give you a third of it.
Uh-huh.
Sometimes give you a half of it. It's up to him what he says, you know.
Up to him, really.
Well, we don't know how many, what the crop is yielding. We don't know. That's very difficult to say.
Uh-huh.
When the farmer say, well, this year is not very good, and so I just return you this 50% of what I made, or 33% of what I made, like that.
Well, if the crops were good, he would only give you one third. If the crops weren't so good, he would give you a half.
Oh, no, you're talking about differently now. If his crops are good, he might give you a half.
Oh, I see.
You know?
Okay. Yeah, I didn't think that. Yeah. Okay.
Overseas Chinese that went back to China.
Uh-huh.
Naturally, they got money to buy a few acres of land.
Yeah.
That's how they share crop with the... with those,
but the land belonged to your father before he came to America, didn't it?
Right.
Mm-hmm. So he was sort of okay already. So
it's okay.
He didn't really, he wasn't like a very desperate poor man who was trying to make a fortune.
Oh, before he came to America, they all poor in China.
He owned
very,
land?
Very difficult to make a living.
But didn't he own land?
Doesn't mean it. Even though you own land, you had to work on it in order to make anything out. And still, even though you work on that land, on your land, you know, you can hardly make any ends meet.
Oh, I didn't realize that.
Oh, very difficult those days. That's why all the Chinese, they had to come, they want to come to America. That's what they call it, Gold Mountain, you know,
mm-hmm.
Kamsan.
Yeah. What kind of language did you speak at home?
At home,
mm-hmm.
More likely Siyap Wali.
Siyap,
this is our own tongue, you know, Siyap.
Let's see. How about outside? Same thing, right?
Outside,
in the community.
Same thing. Unless you went to the city of Hong Kong or Canton, like that.
Were you ever there?
Oh, yeah.
When?
I went back, I took 3 trips, went back to China.
So that's after you were sort of grown up.
Uh-huh.
I see. So
first,
when you were young, you did not speak anything other than
1933, I went back at that time. I went back with my dad, huh?
Uh-huh.
And then I came back to America in 1935, I believe.
Uh-huh.
In 1935, I went back again.
Oh, why so frequently?
In 1937, I came back to America.
During that time, what happened to your produce business?
Oh, I worked out with a little deal with my cousin. He took
business.
Care of it, and also I had somebody took care of my place.
Your house, you mean?
Uh-huh. I mean the house.
I see. When you got to San Francisco, do you remember where you lived? What kind of?
Oh yeah. Mm-hmm. It's a store.
A
store is my father and some other fellows and partners. They form a company.
Mm-hmm.
They call it Hua Yong Company.
Hua Yong
Gongxi.
Uh-huh.
And those days, they are catering the people, mostly Philippine people,
mm-hmm.
to go to Alaska for cannery work.
Cannery. Oh, cannery.
Okay. Salmon cannery up there, up in Alaska.
Mm-hmm.
And whatever the Philippines need, the Filipino would eat, they just came to the store and took everything. All you have to do is just charge them. More likely, we are contracted with the cannery, supplied with labor.
With who?
With the Filipino labor.
With Filipino labor.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah.
So it wasn't really a store.
It is a store.
Haberdashery. grocery?
It's a haberdashery store.
Oh, haberdashery. Oh, haberdashery.
Yeah, you know what it is?
Clothing, sort of?
It's, you know, mostly clothing and luggage. Shoes and like that.
Why Filipinos? Why didn't you contract?
Those days?
Yeah.
Well, you can't get enough Chinese go up there. There is some other people, former company, catering Chinese, contracting Chinese. And so happened, we are catering mostly contracting to Filipino people. I guess they're more
dependent.
Did
your father speak the language?
No. As a matter of fact, my father speaks a little bit of German. Yeah, he spoke a little German.
How did he learn that?
I guess that as a cook.
I see. Okay.
He spoke very good English.
Oh, really?
Yeah. For old Chinese, you know, like that. He's very good English.
I thought you said he was a cook. Now, how did he form this company to contract?
Well,
laborers?
That's a side company, you know.
Oh, a side income.
Oh, yeah. You can be anything, and all you have to do is just, what do you call it, the shares, partner with anybody.
Oh,
you know.
He formed a partnership.
Well, somebody else formed it. They work among several people.
Uh-huh. Did you help with his business?
Well, I didn't know anything about it those days. I was too young.
Uh-huh. Yes, very.
You know, when they came to America, they stayed, we wore knickers.
Yeah.
Short pants.
Right. Did you have your hair in any
No,
way?
I don't.
Yeah. Did you wear those
No.
hats?
No. No. Oh, yeah, wear
basically
what?
Chinese
cap.
Clothes. Yeah,
no,
those
no,
no. Black caps.
No. Mostly all American clothes.
Oh, I see.
At that time. Uh-huh. Just 1920, you know, and right after the World War One.
When you were back in China, what kind of a house did you live in?
First, it's an old house, like ordinary. Brick.
House.
Yeah, brick.
That's good.
And as time goes on, my dad built a new house, moved it to a new house. Also, it's a brick and concrete.
Uh-huh. Like, were you considered upper middle class back in your hometown?
Oh, yeah. We do. We all. Most of the Chinese, the Wakil, Fani Zhongguok, is middle class. They got money, you know.
Yeah, because he worked back here and sent money.
Yeah, they brought back money.
Then you went to school in San Francisco, right?
What?
You said you went to school in San Francisco?
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
Did you go to school in China?
Yes. I wouldn't know anything about it then.
Well, you
more like a kindergarten.
Until you were 12, so you should be able to get in.
More like a kindergarten those days. I learned most of all Chinese, but I forgot all about it by the time I came over here.
You were 13 years old when you came to San Francisco. So
14.
14. Okay.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And
at 13, I was in Hong Kong.
Oh, I see. Normally, a person would have picked up insufficient elementary school Chinese. You should have graduated from Chinese elementary school.
I didn't graduate. I graduated Zhonghua, that's all.
What's that?
I for Zhonghua. Zhonghua Hao Hao.
Oh, I've been
San Francisco.
San Francisco, yeah. Oh, that's interesting. Because
it is not high school now.
You went to a village school back in China?
Oh, yeah. Village school, yeah.
Did you have a private tutor?
Private teacher. We all have private teacher. No, no
now,
public teacher.
Did he come
there.
To your home or did you have to
no,
go?
No, we go to the school.
I see.
In our village, we have a.
But the standard.
A school, yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I see. But the standard was lower, I presume, than cities. So you were not able to learn as much. Is that the idea?
At those times, you know what we are studying? Kyoto, Sam Ji Ging.
Yeah, Sam Ji Ging, yeah.
You know that?
Uh huh.
Nan Ji Cho.
Yeah,
you do know that.
Yeah.
Well.
That's all? No math? No history?
That's a history. That's a math. But I don't remember that anymore. I don't understand that anymore.
Oh, I see. When you were in San Francisco, You say you went to a Chinese school? In addition to regular American school, right?
Regular American school.
You went to American, and then afterwards you went, after like your 3 o'clock.
The program is this way. Since I stay in the store, I help out the store.
Right.
Got up early, cooked the breakfast, Chinese breakfast, fan, rice. At 8 o'clock, go to school.
You cook for everybody?
It's only 3-4 of us in the store. So. And then at 3 o'clock, school's out, you come back to the store. Well, you go cook again. Have dinner. 5 o'clock, I go to Chinese school. Until 8 o'clock night.
Then you come back?
That's a day completed.
You don't have to do any homework for your American school?
I did some homework, but there's no time for me to do homework.
Yeah, it sounds like a full day.
Yeah, full time. The only time I have free is Saturday afternoon and Sunday.
So we
go to Chinese school on Saturday. Too.
Oh yes, Saturday mornings.
Saturday morning, till noon.
So how many years of Chinese do you think you've had, and how many years of regular American education did you have? Also?
How many years? Let's see. Well, I would say about three and a half years. Like
of Chinese?
Chinese, I mean English school, combined,
including
San Francisco and L.A.
What grade level would that be?
Eighth grade. I didn't even finish eighth grade. I quit. I dropped out.
You didn't like school? Or you didn't? You
not that I didn't like school. No time to study. Can't complete my homework, you know. And so I got disgusted. Ah, I said, the heck.
You had to help your father.
Help out in the market.
I see. When you came down to L.A. in 1925, what was Los Angeles like, do you remember? And
what
which part of the city did you live in?
Right on the, where we worked, the market there. Around Central Avenue there, the neighborhood, I call it Main Street, Main Thoroughfare, Central Avenue.
Central Avenue and?
And 8th Street there, around that neighborhood.
Street.
Yeah. 8, 9, 10.
Did you
because
live right there?
Yeah, because it's rent a house over there. It's walking distance to a market, you know, to the work.
Yeah.
Can't afford to have a car those days.
Mm-hmm.
And transportations are bad. You have to ride streetcars, no buses those days, you know.
You didn't own a car.
By 1927, I believe we owned a Model T truck, Model T Ford truck.
Right.
Yeah.
As I said, you where did you live, or rather, in what kind of a house did you live?
It's a frame house, a bungalow sometimes.
Did it have running water and?
Oh yeah, we have a. Hot water, running toilet. Facilities is completed.
I see. Do you remember the rent?
Either around close to $25.
How many bedrooms?
It's a 3-bedroom.
What do you need a 3-bedroom place for?
3 bedrooms. And on top of that, we share with the Negro family.
You shared the
house
rooms.
With the Negro family.
Oh,
five? I guess it's safe money that way, I guess. Eh?
So you only had to pay $12.50?
That I don't know.
I
didn't do that kind of dealing, you know. It's my old man.
Your old man.
My old man and my uncle.
They would, the three of you. The
three of us.
Share the house with the black family.
Yeah, with the black family, yeah.
Oh, I see.
That's interesting, huh?
Yeah. Did you get along? Were you able
we
to
get along
English
very well.
By that time?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I learned English pretty fast, I have to say. Also, when I was in Hong Kong, I studied English in Hong Kong for 6 months.
That was in the 30s.
Pardon?
The 1935.
No, that's 19...
Before you came.
Before I came to America.
21.
1921, yeah. Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I studied 6 months of English in there.
So you lived on, where is this house located?
What?
The A-frame house that you shared with the black family. How long did you live there with them?
It isn't too long. I think we moved somewhere else. Not very long.
Later.
Maybe a year or so like that.
Uh-huh. And where did you move to?
So long, same neighborhood. Move a different house, and then we shared with among the Chinese friends, you know.
Yeah, rented house again.
Rent, mostly on rent. You can't buy a house those days.
Mm-hmm. You can't?
Mm-mm.
Why not?
No, you know, prestige against Chinese. Mm. You can't buy a property those days.
Did you try? Did your father try?
No, you don't try. You don't have to try. Those days, right after the World War II, that you can buy homes, you can buy houses in China. Before that, as far as I can remember, those days, a lot of Chinese graduate, college graduate, can't even get a job.
I see.
You know, they had to work in a restaurant, dishwashing dishes, all these and that.
Graduates, you mean from American universities?
Mm-hmm. You can't get a job, hardly. Difficult to get a job, rather.
I see. So how long did you continue this renting the house business? I mean, renting houses.
How long continue with the rented house? During the war, we're still living in a rented house.
I see. But you moved around.
Move around.
But it's always around that 8th and Central area, right?
Yeah,
because
right.
You
mm-hmm.
wanted to be close.
That's
to
mostly
work.
The where we work uh-huh. among the Chinese working yeah. in the market.
I see.
But those people work in a restaurant in Chinatown, different now. They don't mingle with us, you know. They leave a different section of
the
LA.
Yeah.
yeah.
Did you do much business with the other markets? The
yeah,
and
we
Chicago?
Both.
You were your father was a wholesaler or retail?
Wholesaler.
Wholesale.
Yeah, wholesaler.
Who were his clients? Who were his clients?
Who was the client? Mostly those days, Japanese.
Restaurants.
Uh huh. Not
restaurants.
Stores. Japanese. American and Greeks, Italians,
you
Armenians.
You were a wholesaler, which means you sold
they,
to...
They own the stores or restaurants.
Yeah,
and so
okay.
they came to our market to buy the supplies. That's it. Okay. At the same, meanwhile, we got our own supplies from the farmers.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That's why we had a little our truck.
Uh-huh.
So I went mostly, I did the driving. I drove to suburban LA. The farms,
mm-hmm.
pick up some produce, because those days, quite a few Chinese farmer left
yeah.
in the early years.
Chinese farmers.
Chinese farmers.
Yeah. Do you remember how many Chinese were involved in the produce business in Los Angeles?
Before the World War II, I think I should say about 65%.
Of the whole Chinese population?
Of Chinese population.
In
the market, in the produce business. I don't mean...
You mean of all the people who are in produce business,
yeah, I got nothing to do with the L.A. Chinatown now.
Ah,
see?
Okay. You don't have any idea of how many, maybe several, 200, 300 or, you know...
A Chinese?
A number, yeah.
Working there?
In working, both as an owner and as a worker. Or,
easily,
you know,
200, 300, easy. Very easily. Because those days, some of the Chinese, they call it paddlers, you know, the little horse buggy wagon.
Yeah.
They drove the cart up downtown, Adam, and all the west
well,
of LA.
Little, sort of little retailers, huh?
Supply the housewives.
Yeah. Oh, drove it to their door, huh?
Mm-hmm.
I see.
That's right.
How many wholesalers would you say there were?
How many wholesaler?
All
the
together.
Wholesale houses?
Wholesale, Chinese-owned wholesale businesses, produce business.
Have two markets in LA now. One is the city market,
right.
Between San Julian and San Pedro.
Right.
That I would say about 75% the wholesale houses are Chinese, were Chinese.
So if there were 100 houses, 75
uh-huh. yeah.
would be Chinese.
And then in our market is because
it's
terminal, newer,
right?
Terminal market, Union Terminal market. Union. We call it Union,
Union Terminal,
Market, owned by Southern Pacific Railroad.
Oh.
And it's like, well, we're near the Alameda, Central Avenue, 7th and 8th on the boundary, you know.
Right.
And then, and since our market's a little newer, not that many Chinese wholesale brewed your house there. Not that
Why
many.
Is it that if it's newer, the Chinese won't go there?
Well, it's only a certain amount of Chinese want to get into the produce business. As a matter of fact, not everybody can go into produce business.
What kind of a criteria do you need?
It's very simple. One thing about it, you have to know somebody in line to get along in there. You can't just, like a totally stranger, you go into that business, you can't get ahead with it.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you do know somebody, you've got a little sort of a lead-in.
Yeah.
Like my dad, you know, there's a Mr. Wong, his friend, he's recommending me to come down here, I show you how to do the business. Like that. And as time goes on, you learn the trade, you learn the